So Friday night, I went to bed, and as I was going to bed, I realized I hadn't written out my homily for the weekend yet. It's like, I can do this Saturday morning, got some other things going on. I know when I'll get time to sit down and write it out. I have a text somewhere that I didn't grab yet. There it is. Okay. So, at an unknown hour, at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. He came to me at 3 in the morning, Saturday morning, said, now's the time to write your homily. I'm like, no, pillow. It's like, nope, get up, go and write. So I got up, grabbed my computer, sat in my chapel over at the house, wrote out my homily, closed my computer, went back to bed, and Jesus said, wrong one. I'm like, no, I hate it when he does this. So the homily I wrote out is not the homily I'm giving. The rest of the day, Saturday, when I was awake, kind of rearranged things. And what we're doing for the season of Advent this year, for the 4 weeks of Advent, we're going to have a theme each week leading up to Christmas, leading up to Christ in Christmas. So today we're focusing on the call of Christ, how Jesus calls us each, hopefully not at 3 in the morning, but sometimes even at 3 in the morning, which is admittedly by 5 in the afternoon, when I had 5 o'clock mass yesterday, I'm like, can I go back to bed yet? Anyways, as I was thinking about this concept of the call of Christ, it struck me, or was pondering, this is, when we feel that initial call by Jesus to do something, we can often have this great emotional, this great initial zeal to say yes to Jesus. We want to go and follow him wherever he leads. And it's just, yes, Lord, I want to do the thing, whatever it is that you're calling me to. But if that thing is delayed, or if it's far off, I don't know how to get there. And that initial, yeah, starts to wane and come down a little bit. A month later, a year later, a couple years later, that initial zeal is long gone in the mirror, in the rearview mirror, and we're just kind of back to trudging where we were before. And we see that played out in the life of a parish as well. I love First Communion Day. It's the best, one of the best days to be a priest, because our young people are so excited. That, I mean, if you touch them on the shoulder, they're burst open. They're so excited. You know, they're ready to explode. They're so excited to receive Jesus. And in the chapel before Mass on First Communion Day, they're like, it's, you can feel the energy that they have, their excitement. And it's so wonderful to see them come forward for the first time with their families to receive communion. The joy, the excitement, the anticipation is palpable, is visible on their faces. And then we get to confirmation later on, and it's like, okay, I guess. My twin brother's wife texted me a couple weeks ago. She goes, what do you do with a moody teenager? I said, really, isn't that redundant? No. That zeal that they had in second grade, by seventh, eighth grade, junior year when I was confirmed, that zeal slowly falls away. Or think about those of you who are married. The excitement that you had on your wedding day, right? Is that excitement still there in your married life? That joy still there in your married life? Maybe it's different, but is it still there? Going through the RCIA process, we're so blessed to have people that, and they look forward, again, Easter Vigil, our candidates, catechumens are elect at that point. They're so excited to receive the sacraments, to be baptized, to be confirmed, to receive the Eucharist. It's like, oh, again, their excitement is palpable. But yet I know there's people we welcomed over the previous years that we don't see anymore. Even, and it happens in my life too. I'm no different than anybody else. My parents laughed when I was ordained to the priesthood. They said, we had to tie a rope around your waist and hold you to the ground. Otherwise, your feet were like eye level. My feet are on the ground this morning. How does that happen? How do we go from that initial zeal, that initial ready to take on the world, and then later on it's like, okay, how does that happen? What's that process? A couple weeks ago, Becky, who's back there on the piano, she was at a conference by Dr. Edward Shree, and he was telling the story, kind of, how do we illustrate this? He's telling the story, he moved into a new house in Colorado where he lives, which is where you have a new house. That was really funny in my brain for some reason. Got nothing. He's moving into a new house and they were so excited. His kids were so excited because there was a raspberry bush, right? Okay, I had it wrong the last bit. There was a raspberry bush in the backyard and they're like, sweet, raspberries all summer. And that first summer, they had raspberries all summer. The next summer, they had some. He's like, oh, Dr. Shree's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll water it, I'll fertilize it. We'll get more next summer. And the third summer comes and there's nothing on the plant. And the plant is slowly dying. He's like, what happened? What happened? And his neighbor comes over and he looks at it and he says, it's infected with chokeweed. It's this little weed that grows up around the trunk of the bush. And just like its name, slowly constricts the trunk, the branches. And slowly constricts them so that what was once alive and thriving slowly dies. Slowly choked out of life. And he went on to talk about how our culture, in so many ways in our life of faith, our culture is like a chokeweed. We have this initial zeal, this flourishing, this bearing good fruits for the kingdom. But yet, there's so much noise in our culture. And St. Paul lists them out in our second reading. Well, he lists orgies. I hope we don't have many of them. Drunkenness, fornication, just this life of dissipate living, the works of darkness. Our culture is so inundated with those things. Distractions, even comfort. Eating, in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, not able to see what God is doing in their midst. I think it's a little ironic we have that passage on Thanksgiving weekend, where there's a lot of eating and drinking that goes on, at least in my family. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Anyways, we get so comfortable in who we are and what we're doing that we're not able to see what God's doing. We're so comfortable and we get these little idiot boxes that whenever we're bored, we can distract ourselves. It used to be a TV called an idiot box. Now it's one of these little distraction devices we keep in our pockets. Oh, what was the score? Do I have an email? Do I have a text? What's happening on Facebook or on Twitter? And this constant distraction, this constant sense of feeding our souls with the things of this world instead of feeding our soul with Jesus. And we have no time to focus on Christ. And that zeal slowly gets choked away. But yet in the midst of this, in the midst of that, in the midst of our world, Jesus is, he's there. And he's slowly knocking at the door of our hearts, quietly knocking at the door of our hearts. And he's just inviting us, calling us a beloved son and daughter. And he says, hey, all those things you're seeking in the world, I got it. It's fine. I'll take care of you. And we get fearful. Because it's a risk. And with all that noise that we surround ourselves with, it's hard to hear his voice. It becomes like this little trickling thing way in the back corner. And so it's so easy to be like, go away. Go away. But Jesus constantly calling. Jesus constantly calling. And I know what I'm going to say, and we say it every year at this time. I know that it's hard to embrace, because especially this year, it's a little closer from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And every year, it's like getting shot out of a cannon at Thanksgiving, and you hit Christmas, and you're like, where did December go? I see a few heads nodding. I was like, I can't be the only one that has that experience. And so we stand here and as a priest and we talk about, well, you need to embrace silence in Advent. And you're like, I know. I don't know how. I know I need to. But how do you do that? How do you hear Christ calling when everything is just being bombarded? And that's where it is just a challenge. And an invitation. Challenge of slowing down in the midst of a chaotic world that just seems to move faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. The challenge of just taking a break and putting the phone down. Challenge of taking a break and turning the TV off. Challenge of just sitting with your beloved. Particularly for those who are married. Do you ever just sit and talk? The challenge of sitting with our true beloved, our Lord, just in a few minutes of silence. And it doesn't have to be anything great and profound and deep, but just, Lord, as simple as, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? Trying to close off all the noise to listen. I know a lot of times when I ask that question, the response that I get is just silence. Just rest. Just rest. Just be. I always want words. He never gives me words. He gives me an alarm clock at 3 a.m. That's what he gives me. I'm like, words would be nice. A sweater would be better. Come on. Okay, I got a few laughs on that one. All right. But in this, what's made a difference in my life is I get up at 5:15, 5:30 in the morning. To spend some time in quiet and in prayer before the day hits. And I know that that's not realistic for everybody. And for me, because for me as a priest, that's something I have to do. To spend that hour or two just reading the office, looking at the scripture, reading some things that I've been reading about addiction, trauma, all these other stuff. How the Lord's working through that. But to invite you to just have at least 5 minutes, have at least 10 minutes to tune our ears, our hearts, our souls into the voice of the Lord. To just say, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? And so often he starts not in big and dramatic things, but he just says, you're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. In you I'm well pleased. That initial call that he gives us is just this call by name to something deeper. It's not complicated. Don't make it complicated. I don't want to make it complicated. Just as simple as saying, Lord, help me. Help me hear. And in the small ways that he does, he will. And it's just that constant reminder that in him, we are born again from above to be his beloved sons and daughters.